This podcast is a project of the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency committed to building creative communities and inspiring creative minds.
How are we talking with our young students about, you know, mental health issues, depression? How are we talking about domestic situation? Is there abuse that's going on? We're often not. We're kind of glazing over it and speaking around it. But they need to be having these conversations because guess what? They're experiencing it.
Hello, I'm Anita Walker at the Massachusetts Cultural Council, and this is Creative Minds Out Loud. Joining us today is Anthony Treisic King. He is the president and artistic director of the Boston Children's Chorus. Thanks for joining us today. Yeah. First of all, tell me a little about you. How did you get into this work?
Oh, that's what a great question, I guess. It's a long, convoluted path, but I always knew that I wanted to be in music, I took a path through engineering to kind of get here and actually ran away from music. But music is, I always believe music is one of those things that you have to do. And if you want to do it, then you might not make it. But if you have to do it, like it's a must for you. And I tried to run away from it several times and it kept pulling me back. So now I'm in it and I'm in it to stay and absolutely enjoying it.
And yeah, how long have you been with the Children's Chorus?
Actually, this is year 10 for me. So it's 10th anniversary. I'm very excited about that.
So talk to us a little about the chorus. It's more than music, isn't it?
It is. So the chorus was founded, you know, just over 13 years ago by a social worker named Hubie Jones, who's a legend here in Boston. And it was with the express intent to use music as a catalyst to create social change. So while we certainly sing, and I think it's an excellent chorus, and we have a great time learning about music, but we also take time to discuss and learn about our differences and how we can work together to become a more creative and collective community together, I think. So it's a fantastic organization to be part of.
Why is music such an effective platform for that, for social justice and social change?
Right. Well, I think with music in particular, so many cultures are involved in music, right? So it touches everybody. So everybody has some connection to music in some way. And for us, singing is actually our vehicle. So I think even further, whether, you know, instrumental music can be limiting in some ways, but with singing, so many different cultures sing. And so for us, it's easy to get everybody in the same room. So I think that's number one. The second thing with music is it accesses our emotions in a different way, and it puts us in a different state of mind when you're working on this common goal of singing together rather than a competition. It's something that's very collaborative, that is positive all the way through. And so when we sing songs about difficult topics or whatever, it then opens up the conversation. And when you open up the conversation, then that's where you're really starting to make groundwork and tread in this area of social justice.
So tell me some stories about the kids in the chorus. Where do they come from, and what brings them to singing in this way?
Well, they come from over 120 different zip codes. So they're actually from a wide array of areas in the Massachusetts, but also we actually have drawn a student from Maine and a student from Rhode Island as well. So it's certainly getting out there. That's unusual, of course, but and they cross the socioeconomic levels. They cross the certainly different ethnicities and religious backgrounds and that sort of thing. So we purposely try and create a very diverse environment in every one of our 13 choirs. So that way there is somebody that is different than you in each group. And it's really quite wonderful. We have kids that are extremely high achievers in their schools, and we had somebody working on like cancer research, which I think is absolutely amazing. But we have other kids who come from more disadvantaged situations where this is their one real outlet to be, you know, positive and have positive role models and positive peer experiences and things like that. So it's been pretty incredible. I mean, to tell you, not to get on a tragic side of things, but one of the questions I always ask each year is, you know, if you had to protest something, you know, what would you protest, right? Because we want the kids to be active and to go ahead and speak out when they see something's wrong. And one of the singers said that he wanted to protest gun violence because he had a couple of his friends that were killed. And the room, you know, you could feel that in the room, how everybody at that moment, everybody was then affected by gun violence. So even the child that lives out in Bedford or Wellesley, they all of a sudden were affected by gun violence. And that kind of equal status, that equal perception of reality is something that we work for and try to cultivate in every one of our singers. Because from there, then there's understanding that can begin to happen. We understand why, you know, today you're in a very bad mood. right? And those sorts of things. And so that's what we try to cultivate, and those are some of the students. I mean, I can tell you all kinds of stories. They're not always...
Tell us another one.
I should probably pick positive stories.
Well, real stories that are reflective of the kids and what they're facing and what they bring when they come to the chorus.
Right, right. Well, I'll tell you of a singer who was from Lincoln Sudbury, and she joined the chorus in high school, so she hadn't been with us since she was 7. And I asked her, you know, how has this affected you? And she said, well, actually, I mean, it's affected me, absolutely no question, but it's affected my family. My mother, who thought that she was very open to others and different people, didn't realize some of her barriers that she had until I came home and started talking about what we were talking about in school or in chorus. And so because of the child's participation in BCC, the parents are now more open and now more able to traverse different areas and different ethnicities and different racial subgroups. And so I think that to me is fantastic. I mean, we want to affect the kids, certainly, but we want it to spread out beyond that so that the parents are being affected and the wider community. Because again, the goal was to use music as the catalyst to create social change. And social change is such a big thing, right? So how do we do that? And so this is one example of how that happens.
When you think about the music that the kids are going to be performing, mm-hmm. Does social justice come into play in your musical selections?
It does. It absolutely does. I like to pick music that makes us all think. And I end up having to have a lot of music written for the chorus or make arrangements of songs and music because, you know, the choral world can be seen as a very religious, particularly, you know, a Christian faith world, which it's got a rich tradition there, but that doesn't speak to everybody. And so we're looking at how can we maybe secularize some of our issues, not ignoring, but, you know, find other text and things like that to talk about. So I absolutely think about social justice. We're singing a song now titled Home, and it's sung from the child's perspective. So it's a very youthful sounding, kind of bouncy, like sing-songy thing, but the child's mother is clinically depressed. And so we're hearing the child's perspective of the mom who's clinically depressed. And throughout the song, there's these flashes of reality where there's a gun and the mother is maybe knocked out from overdosing on drugs. And the child is like, look, I can make something happy. I'm the reason why you should be happy. And it's gut-wrenching, right? Like I'm almost in tears talking about it. That's a song I choose to sing with our kids because there's so much in there that needs to be discussed. Like how are we talking with our young students about, you know, mental health issues, depression? How are we talking about domestic situation? Is there abuse that's going on? We're often not. We're kind of glazing over it and speaking around it. But they need to be having these conversations because guess what? They're experiencing it, right? They're experiencing it. And so therefore it allows us to then bring it to the forefront. And we absolutely sit down and then talk about it.
Listening to you, I feel like one would expect that the kids go to the Boston Children's Chorus and they reflect back your, you know, baton. But what I'm hearing is that you're absorbing from the kids what's meaningful to them, what they're going through in their life, and then you're providing sort of food through music for them to work through it.
Right. Well, to me, conducting is a democracy. It's not a dictatorship. And I know that doesn't always resonate with everybody.
Not every musician thinks
no,
that, so.
I agree. Well, the important thing is that, you know, ensembles don't need conductors, but conductors need ensembles. And so I can't conduct without there being people in front of me, but they can sing without me. So you've got to keep that in mind. But it's a democracy, and I think that we're in this together, and even more so, the ensemble is theirs. They present the issues, they present what they want to talk about, what's on their mind, and I just try to help facilitate conversations. That's really what I see my role is as a facilitator more than anything else.
I nearly teared up when you just described that song. I mean, that's just
it's
that
powerful.
But that is real in the lives of these kids. Something tells me that they are in a better position to cope with these difficult issues through music and through conversation than maybe the adults in the room?
That's probably true. I mean, you know, last June we did a session at a conference, a choral director's conference, where the kids and the participants join in a conversation. Because we have lots of conversations, and I think we have conversations on tough topics, and we're able to do it because we've created a safe space, we've created equal status amongst the students, and so on. And there's a rapport that's there. But we wanted to show the world how we have these conversations. So we had a conversation, unfortunately the shootings in South Carolina just happened. So we had a conversation about South Carolina with our kids and the participants. And when it was over, there wasn't a dry eye in the room, and we really feel like we accomplished something. But the kids were the inspiration, and they actually showed the adults that it's okay to have this conversation, and it's okay to be real, right? And not to worry about hurting anybody's feelings, but just get out what's on your chest, get out what's on your mind, and that's the only way we can talk about it. You know, we're kind of forcing ourselves into thinking that the colorblind society is the right society. But that's such a huge mistake. We don't want our kids, we don't want our adults to be colorblind, because when that happens, you're devaluing color. We want to instead be a society that sees and values color, sees and values differences. And what we're trying to do in the course is to give them the platform to see and value those differences. I'll give you a fun story. About 2 weeks into rehearsal this year, I was noticing some social dynamics that wasn't conducive to our goals within the ensembles, which is natural. It's a new group of kids. They don't quite know each other. And so what...
All right, be specific. Social dynamics not conducive to our goals.
So in other words, you know, you had all the black kids going over here. You had all the Asian kids going over here. You had all the white kids, you know, from the suburbs going over here. And they weren't necessarily mixing. And again, it's natural, because us as human beings, what we do is we find kind of the easy. What's the similar? Let me find what's like. Well, who's like me? Because that's easy. And it's hard to cross those barriers. So decide, okay, great. I've got to deal with this head on. But I dealt with it head on in a weird way. We started talking about hair. And it was a group of all girls. And we started talking about hair and what people have to go through to fix their hair on a day-to-day basis. And there's such a radical difference of how that happens, that naturally culture started bubbling up, and cultural appropriation started bubbling up, and then cultural understanding started bubbling up, all through this conversation that started with hair. And the question was with me, they asked me, did you ever have a fro? I said, yes, I did, but I have good hair. And I said, but you don't know what that means, do you? So let me explain what good hair means. And so we had this long conversation about that, and then started jumping in, and it was wonderful. And when it was all over, I heard from parents, my child learned a tremendous, just loved the discussion today, and they couldn't stop talking about it. And now those barriers are gone, because we talked about hair. Now they want to talk to each other about everything.
So do conversations like that make better music, or does music make better conversations like that?
Yes. it's both. I think so. It's an investment in time, right? And any time that you take away from the music, it could be seen as a distraction. But I've seen that the knock on young singers is that they can't emotionally connect to the music that they're singing. But by having these conversations, they're emotionally connecting to the music that we're singing, and therefore the performances are more authentic. They're more, you know, from the gut and not so much from the head. And you can see it on their faces and in their bodies. So it's worth the investment to build a better community. Beside that, they listen to each other better, right? Just as a singer, you have to listen. That's your number one job, is to listen. And when you care about the person next to you, in front of you, you're going to listen to them and be more sensitive to those kind of nonverbal cues that happens in performances. And so it's such a blessing to do this. It really is. It's absolutely fantastic.
So I have to ask you, can anybody sing?
I believe the answer is yes. I do. There are an occasional person who can, right? And right, there's a spectrum. But I believe that most people can sing. The vast majority of people can sing. It's just a matter of learning how.
There is such a growth in choruses in general, not just children's choruses, but adult choruses and community choruses.
Right.
And it feels like that could be a step in the right direction for our society. Do you think?
I do, because there's something very communal about this, right? I mean, people love to sing, and they love to be part of a greater community working towards a common goal of giving a great performance. Yeah, I mean, there's millions of people that sing around the country, and maybe we just need to have more people listen to the singers.
So 10 years you've been
yes.
with the Boston Children's Chorus,
yes.
And so it's always interesting at these birthdays with a zero at the end of them to
right.
both reflect where we come in the last 10 years and how have things changed in the whole context of this children's chorus, but also where do you want to go?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, I've certainly been reflecting on what we've done and what we've accomplished in the last 10 years. I think that we've been consistently ahead of what I thought we could accomplish in the time span.
And when you say accomplish, are you talking about musical excellence, or are you talking about the broader social justice component?
Well, my first stop is musical excellence. I think we got to a place of musical excellence, of a standard, I should say, sooner rather than later. I would think that it would take us another couple of years to get to where we are right now. And growth. I mean, we grew in those 10 years from 120 kids to around 500. And that's incredible. It's incredible growth. That broader social message and broader social mission is something that we're narrowing in on and honing in on and really starting to understand, because there isn't an example that we can follow that we can say this is exactly how it's done. There are close examples, but you know, not at the depth that we're really trying to accomplish this work. And so I think we're on schedule for that. I think things are moving along great, and in the next 5 years, 10 years, I can really see that flourishing to more, so that we can kind of share this message and share our learnings with other organizations so that they can begin to do it. People are already asking us around the country. They really are. I just spoke with somebody at the Cincinnati Boys Choir about this and how they're going through a strategic planning process, and they want to incorporate some of the work that we're doing here. So it's happening more and more, and I think the more that we understand it, the more that we kind of systemize it and kind of create a platform for even 7-year-olds to kind of begin this journey, then we'll be better off. But artistically, I'm looking at some wild collaborations. And
say more.
Oh, I don't know if I can say more. But man.
Come on. We won't tell.
Yeah, of course you won't tell. But I have some crazy ideas, you know, to commission things like musicals that speak to who we are, to work with orchestras in a way and create music around what we're doing, even three-dimensional art installations and things like that I think will be kind of fascinating. I have an idea that I'm hoping to do next year around kind of environmental justice through song, you know, so just different ideas that we can kind of further or expand the idea of social justice so that we could reach more and more constituents and more hearts and minds.
The work that you're doing here at the Mass Cultural Council, we call it creative youth development,
right,
as I think you well know. And it is a field of practice, and it is intentional, and it is something that has been really developed by doing, as you've been doing, right, over the last 10 years and even 20 years for some of our organizations. 10 years ago, would you have introduced to your choruses the song that you described a few minutes ago about depression? And
that's really funny. It has come full circle, because 10 years ago, one of the songs that we sung about, one of the topics that we discussed was suicide prevention. And it's because, again, we're reacting to what happened. There was a singer who had a friend that committed suicide. So it was affecting our community, and so we had to talk about it. We couldn't just ignore it. And so we worked with Samaritans, who came in and gave us a suicide prevention workshop, and we sang a song in which wasn't explicitly about suicide, but there was enough there that it allowed us to have the conversation and so on. And again, I mean, I remember these moments, maybe I just cry too much, but where we're having these discussions and singing these songs, and you just literally, you crumble because of the emotional energy that's in the air, and it's cathartic and it's necessary, and we have to do it. So yes, I mean, it might not have been this song, but it was another song. And every year, we it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 songs that we really dig into that has this strong message, strong topic that needs to be discussed. I mean, when Trayvon Martin was shot, we sang a song about Emmett Till, right? And it allowed us to contextualize Trayvon Martin from a historical perspective. Right, and a story that isn't being told as much as it should be, you know, the Emmett Till story. So it's these things that are constant for us. And I think that makes us unique. It really does, that people aren't necessarily going after this as much as we are.
So when you look at the young faces in front of you, I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to let you say it.
Sure.
Is your goal to develop great musicians, great singers, or?
Great people. The goal is great people. I actually discourage people going into music, because I figured that if I sit here and say, don't go into music, and they decide to anyway, then they have a chance, right? It's to create great human beings. That's the ultimate goal. Secondary, just be appreciative of the arts and love and know the arts. But really, it's great human beings.
Anthony Tresick King from the Boston Children's Chorus, thank you so much for sharing a bit of your creative mind out loud.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
To learn more about this episode and to subscribe, visit creativemindsoutloud.org.